And by the way, the field of NLP and hypnosis, I think there's two different ways that people think about them. And some people have learned about these things as technologies. And so then they become technicians of human experience. What seems to get lost in all of that is the very humanness. And not only that, rather than science, I would rather think of what I do as being art. You know, and my job as an artist, a word that I got from John Grinder again and again and again. I can't begin to tell you how many times in any given lecture I would hear John use the word elegance. You know, it's not enough to just do it. It's about doing it from a place of flow, from a place of a being, from a place of presence. It's just a naturally occurring process. It's a conversation.
And you've opened up a couple of things for me there. One is, as you talked about that evolving self, the idea that once the door's open, it's gonna come out. It's gonna, you know, like it's hungry for life. That it's gonna engage. But the other thing is the idea that before that happens, the reason people have problems is because they've lost rapport with their unconscious. And one of the things that I've heard John Grinder say when he's been talking about the science and art of it and about elegance is he said, I heard him say words to the effect of the most important relationship that an NLP practitioner can develop is the relationship between their conscious mind and their unconscious mind.
Exactly. Similarly, I think it compares to art forms more easily than to science for just that reason. Because, for example, I play keyboards, not as well as I might once have, but it's something that I've done in the past. And at the beginning of that, I spent time learning scales, learning chords, and doing things that really were very mechanical. But at some point, when they finally sort of settled into me, and I could just kind of be there with the instrument, or maybe not even separate from the instrument, this lovely experience that happens when music is just present. Is a great thing. It requires, I guess, that foundational stuff, about learning the techniques, even as techniques at some point. But it also requires, to be Rubinstein or Horowitz, it requires forgetting about all that stuff at some point and just being with the music.
And in terms of that relationship between the conscious and the unconscious, because what I'm hearing you talk about in a way is mastery, is that place where the skill, the technical side of it has been so well integrated that you can, you know, play from the heart, so to speak. That one aspect of that mastery is that integration of technical ability. And another aspect of it is that relationship between the conscious and the unconscious. So I'm
Sure.
wondering, what are some things that people who are listening can do to continue developing that relationship between conscious and unconscious?
Well, and you're asking the question really well when you talk about continued development, because that's the issue. I think we are in these modern times so conditioned to drive through lunch, and that people often attend trainings that are looking for drive-through trainings. They want to spend 2 days talking to somebody about hypnosis and emerge as great, successful hypnotists. And they don't understand that a great artist is the result of years of development and honing, better and better all the time. That's absolutely got to happen. So first of all, our understanding of education, I'm not a big proponent of all of the titles and stuff that we give away, because I have to, in my own opinion, I think there are a number of hypnosis organizations that I could have founded had I had a laser printer before they did. And that, the deal is we will sell you credentials and give you a quick course, and people are actually thinking that they've developed some qualifications. Now, granted, it's like they went to the piano teacher and they learned the chords and they learned the scales. But it's about that continued practice, that continued dedication to having it develop that really needs to happen. And again, I think it happens when you forget about the technology in the long run. I mean, you can remember it when you need to academically, But on the other hand, when you're doing the work, that it should be so in your gut that it's a natural way for you to respond to people, mm-hmm. to do hypnosis or to do NLP, to notice the things in a client's language, for example, that give you great amounts of information about how they're processing. Do you have to know that you're noticing that in order to notice it? No. I'm not really sure. In fact, I think that somehow the knowing gets in the way.
It can do. In my own experience, having practiced a bunch of that stuff, is now when I'm listening to someone, it's almost like my unconscious highlights which word is the one to pay attention to or the one that's important. But the funny thing is, I was doing the first module of a master practitioner training recently, and I was going through and I was picking out, people had written out a sentence about something they wanted or some belief they perceived as limiting or something like that. Then I was going through one of these sentences and marking out all the ambiguities. And one of the ones I saw was the word be. And I was thinking of be like honey. And then I thought, oh, I won't mark that one out. It's just so silly. And then I ended up telling a story, a Buckminster Fuller story about bees, as part of the piece of change work that connected so deeply with what was going on for the person that sometimes I think that those things, those flashes that I notice are really just ways of getting my conscious mind out of the way so the unconscious can do its work, giving my conscious mind something to pay attention to while the unconscious connects with the other person's unconscious and does the real stuff.